Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're focusing on the energy sector in this segment as I am chatting with Joseph Schatcher. He writes the Schatcher Energy Report, also writes his new report, which is the Eye on Energy, which is a free report that really just breaks down the fundamentals and the data that is released on a regular basis for the oil and energy sector. Joseph, price-wise, crude just continues to hang around this $42 region. It doesn't seem to matter what news we get, what political events we get, or even what energy oil data we get. The price seems more or less stuck in this range, and I personally still don't understand it. I still think that oil should be lower, but hey, it's, as I said, hung around here for quite a while. What are your updated thoughts on the resilience, I guess we can call it, of crude right in above this $40 level?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, OPEC, keeps on talking the talk that they're pulling back production out of the States so they can tighten up inventories. The data this week came in with a decline of commercial stocks of 1.6 million yesterday. That number was supposed to be, I think, declining by 2.7 million. The big thing for me is that people aren't watching demand in the United States, which is weakening because of the COVID crisis and many states having to reverse their opening policies. The EIA data showed that the demand for total product, which includes gasoline, jet fuel, distillates, etc., was down by 2.21 million from 19.4 million to 17.2. So that's a big drop, and we're still down about 3.8 million from a year ago. So the assumption that OPEC has managed supply and demand, I think, is false. I think demand side is really the problem. Now, the supply side, might be realistic relative to normal conditions after a problem. But the COVID issues, where all around the world we're seeing, pickups from China to New Zealand to, Spain, and of course, North America is not doing well, and we've had a pickup here in Alberta even of cases. So, you don't drive as much, you don't go anywhere as much. So to me, I think that we're going to see prices pull back once we get into September when the summer driving season is over. OPEC has raised production effective August 1st by 2 million. Remember, they had the cutback of 9.7. They've lowered that now to 7.7. And in the month of June, OPEC raised their production by 980,000 barrels a day to 23.2. And of that, Saudi raised it by 866. So Saudi's grabbing market share. And if you add in the 2 million barrels, starting August, they're going to be producing 25.2, and yet the call on OPEC for the rest of the year is only 23.4. So we're going to probably see 23.4 million barrels. So we're likely to see in September, October, a build in inventories, and I think that could spook the market. So my view is still that we're going to see lower prices, and if we break $38 for WTI, I think we're going to go down. And depending upon how nasty the election is, and if there's going to be, the normal flu season with COVID make things worse, we could see crude oil in the fourth quarter go below $30 U.S., and I think that's going to pull oil stocks down. What's interesting, though, is because of the warm weather that we're having and the need for air conditioning, Canadian prices are for AECO have done very well, $238 an MCF, which is a very nice price for this time of year. And in the United States, I believe it's U.S. $2.41 for NYMEX, again, a very nice price. In Canada, we have very low storage for natural gas, so that sets up a very good winter for us if it's normal or colder than normal. While the United States inventories are at the high end, but we're now starting to see LNG take off a bit in the States, demand for that. And China, as part of their trade deal with the U.S., they were going to import a lot. So if that becomes an issue and they start fulfilling their commitments, then we're going to see much higher commodity prices this winter. So I prefer natural gas and natural gas liquids to the heavier barrels. And we have no recommendations at all in thermal oil, in oil sands, or in heavy oil. We think that area is the most vulnerable on the downside here. So, we were, as you know, put out a buy recommendation, an action alert buy in March. And since then, stocks have done exceedingly well. Many have doubled, a lot of them have tripled, and some even have quadrupled from the low in March. And we're advising clients, to if they have those own names owned in non-taxable accounts, RRSPs, TFSAs, etc., that they should consider harvesting some of them, build up some cash reserves, because I think the general stock market also could face some problems as we see no fiscal policy deal to support wages and employees with the unemployment insurance, and no more support from other fiscal policies sides to the corporate sector. I think we're going to see lower prices on the general stock market. And, you know, if we bust 20, I think the number is like 26,400, and we're 27.7 right now on the Dow, I think we could see a test of the lows that we had in March. And I don't see 30,000. I think we'll see below 20,000 on the Dow before we see above 30,000. So that risk-reward ratio says to you, be careful, be defensive, have some cash reserves, and take profits in the high flyers.
So, Joseph, overall, I'm hearing a lot of pessimism, a lot of bearishness almost across the board, maybe outside of nat gas and some nat gas liquids. But as you said, they've even run now. Do you see any catalyst, anything that could actually be positive for energy or the broad markets?
I think longer term, you know, heading into 2021, yes. But I think that fourth quarter is going to be very nasty political season in the United States. The Republicans are not interested in having a $2 or $3 trillion more, you know, fiscal stimulus. The Democrats want it. The Republicans don't. And, you know, if we don't see a deal done in the next week or two, we're not going to see one done before the election. And that's going to be the divisive issue because, you know, employees were getting beneficiaries of this. We're getting $600 from U.S. from the federal government, plus whatever they got from the state government. That could be between $100 and $400 or $500. So they were getting, in some cases, $1,000 a week U.S., and many of them weren't making that when they had full-time jobs. So, you know, now that we don't have that extra stimulus of $600, they're going to have to say, well, you know, let me go back to a job. But if COVID-19 has problems, if you're a restaurant worker, if you are a hotel worker or whatever in the service sector, and that service sector hasn't returned or manufacturing has not returned, I think we're, you know, as we saw with the unemployment claims this morning, it was much higher, I believe, you know, over a million, and it was expected to be, you know, much lower than that. That to me says that there's a jobs problem. And when we see the August employment data in the first week of September, that could be a wake-up call to people to realize that the, you know, people are not being employed. Companies are beginning to lay off staff again. And without financial support to companies and no direct support to individuals, that could set up the stage for the fourth quarter to be problematic for investors in general. And if we do get a declining general stock market, energy will get dragged down, as will gold, as it was in March, April, you know, February, March. You know, gold had done well in January, early February, and when the market cracked, you know, down to below eight, you know, to the 18,000 level, below 20,000, we did see even gold correct. So I think after a fabulous run in gold, we're going to get to see a correction after a fabulous move in energy stocks from March into June, or, you know, and then now into, you know, this month with the natural gas names. I think that they all need a chance to cool off and back off. And if the general stock market does it, and it's because of fiscal policy messes in the States and in Canada, you know, like, what are we going to do to extend our programs? Morneau's gone, and, you know, he wanted to be more of a more conservative and not spend money. And yet the prime minister and his Privy Council office, don't care about the deficits. Leave that to the next government because it's not our problem, and spend. So, you know, I think that, you know, we fourth quarters could be surprisingly negative, and that's the reason why I have this negative view. But why am I positive for 2021 thereon? Is I think, number one, we're looking at a COVID solution, a vaccine, potentially, you know, coming at the end of this year, more readily available Q2, Q3 of next year. So that removes that issue. And then the economy will see comparisons that are positive versus the quarters, you know, so Q2 of 2021 will be better than Q2 of 2020, and then Q3 and Q4 the same. And all of that will mean higher corporate profits, and that will mean much better, valuations. The only offset to that would be is if the Democrats win, Biden will probably reverse all of the Trump tax cuts, which means the S&P's earnings will be, instead of 150, 160 in 2021, could be 120. And then what multiple do you put on them? And that's part of the reason why I think that the S&P 500, which is, north of 3,300, could see, a number in the 2,000 range or less if we have this significant market, valuation decline.
All right, Joseph, can you wrap us up with any stocks or companies that you are watching when it comes to either oil or natural gas that you use as a barometer for future price moves in the underlying commodity, and also ones that you think might be the ones to rebound the quickest when a bottom is put in?
Yeah, I think the Canadian, we're seeing the drill rig count pick up in Canada, so the service sector names should start to do better in 2021. And the natural gas stocks, if they correct, names like Tourmaline, Birchcliff, Pipestone, Arc Energy, there's a large number of names that could be there. And then on the service sector, CES, Precision Drilling, Total Energy. So there's some great names that potentially could be very exciting and significant upside. And we cover those in our reports that we do twice monthly. And we're right now, with all the Q2 reports coming on, the issue that's coming out next Thursday, we'll have 10 names with the evaluation of their second quarter results. And then the final 10 companies that we cover will come out in our early September issue. So, if you're involved in the Canadian energy sector in the, medium to smaller cap names, that's our space. We don't really focus on CNQ and Suncor, and which are, oil sands producers to a great degree. We think the traditional E&P companies and the service sector is where you're going to see more bang for your buck as the economy recovers and as the price of oil recovers. We think next year you could be looking at $55, $60 WTI in the second half of 2021 and potentially $80 one or two years later. That will be very positive. And if we see $3 AECO, that will generate significant cash flow to the industry, and that would then create a massive opportunity. Remember, you want to buy stocks when they're bargains. We got that in March. We had a nice lift. I think we're going to see a pullback. And I think on the next pullback, which we'll send out an action alert buy to subscribers in the fourth quarter if we get it, that would be the next time to load up on the stocks. And I think that potentially there's 5 and 10 baggers in this sector because it has been so decimated from the highs of, 2014.
All right, Joseph, always great hearing from you. And hey, in all fairness, the oil sector has been relatively boring recently. People are distracted, but it's noteworthy to notice that crude still remains above $40, above $42 as well right now. But I see your reasoning for a pullback coming and lasting for a little bit of time. But that could present a nice buying opportunity. Joseph, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll chat with you in another few weeks. Have a great rest of your week.
My pleasure.